but we know, according to Scripture in Acts chapter 2, they was endued with power from on high. The Bible talks about how cloven tongues of fire came and sat upon each one of them, and each one of them began to speak with other tongues, right? And then the hearers heard them in their own language. And we said those tongues was for a sign. And what the sign was, if y'all remember the story in, Joel 2 or 3, it had been prophesied that in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. What is it? Your old man will dream dreams, and young men will see visions, and all of that. And Peter said, this is what's happened. So those tongues was for a sign. That's actually the day that the church, as we know it, started. And it started out with the baptism in the Holy Ghost and tongues. You will not find that in Old Testament. All the other gifts of the Spirit are in the Old Testament. But the church started with that. We looked at all that. Now, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost baptizes us into Jesus. Right? Y'all remember the scripture says we're baptized into Christ? The Holy Spirit is the one that does that. But that, John said, one coming after me, he's going to baptize you. He's talking of Jesus. Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. And then we begin to speak in other tongues. Now, the first one we said is a personal prayer language. When you get the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you begin to speak with other tongues. You can do that anytime that you choose. We talked about how over in Jude, it says praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We looked at some scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14 that says whenever you speak in tongues or whatever, you're not talking unto man, but you're talking unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit we speak mysteries. I'm just trying to recap a little bit. There's some that was here, some wasn't. And sometimes we forget a lot of what we talked about. So the first one we would say is a personal prayer language. That's for me, to build me up, to edify me or you. The second one we looked at is tongues, that is a ministry of tongues. We read the scripture over there where some would use that tongues is not for today, where it says, do all speak with tongues? And he says, no. But you got to go back in context. He says, are all apostles? Is everybody in the church an apostle? No. Is everybody in the church a prophet? No. Does everybody in the church have the ministry of tongues or interpretation of tongues? No. That's not the kind of... There's three different types. And so when you're reading the scriptures, if you don't know what type he's talking about, it looks like scripture contradicts itself, actually. But how many knows? It never does. Scripture, you got something wrong if it's contradicting you in your study. Now, the third one we looked at was tongues for a sign to unbelievers. That's what the tongues was over there in Acts chapter 2. It said that they was all Galileans that was doing the speaking with other tongues, but all different kinds of languages heard them speak in their own languages. Those was a sign to the unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about how that those tongues are for a sign to unbelievers, but not to believers. And prophecy is to believers. All right, so does everybody get an understanding? There's three different types. Okay, let's go on to 1 Corinthians 14 now. Zach, I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through. At least 33, I think. So he'll put that up on the screen for anybody that don't have their Bible or whatever. Now, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read that whole thing, and he started that chapter out. He says, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, right? And that whole chapter 12 is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings, the gifts of tongues, the gift of interpretation. All of those are ministry gifts that are to be used in the body of Christ, like in a church setting, like what we are here today, right? So, and then 13, he says, I'll show you a more excellent way, and he starts talking about love and ministry gifts. In 14, he's talking about ministry gifts. Now, I told y'all in chapter 14, this whole 12, 13, and 14, he is straightening out the Corinthian church because they got major problems. So that's good for us to know that gifts don't come because we're perfect. None of us would have any of them. Why? Because not any of us are far as perfect in the flesh, right? Jesus was the only perfect one. But we're going to start reading here in verse 1. Of 1 Corinthians 14, he says, follow after charity, which we know translates love. He says, and desire spiritual gifts. So every one of us is supposed to be desiring spiritual gifts. To be seen, no. To build up the body and edify each other, yes. He says, but rather that you may prophesy. He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now some would take this and they would say, okay, well see, I don't want tongues, I want prophecy. Well, that's fine as long as you're talking about ministry tongues. Every one of us born-again believers are supposed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and have a supernatural prayer language that we use to God. He says, howbeit in the Spirit we speak mysteries. Romans chapter 8 talks about how that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. That word infirmities, when you look it up, says weaknesses. How many knows what I don't know is a weakness to me? The Bible talks about I don't even know how to pray for things as I ought to. Why? Because I only know a small part. I have no clue what's actually in your heart, what you're going through, unless you tell me. And so I have before, even I've been going to fast, and the Holy Spirit say, you don't need to fast, you need to walk in love. I don't even know what I need myself. Sometimes I think I do, but I may not know. But how many knows the Holy Spirit, he knows all things. The Bible says he searches the heart and mind of God. He searches my heart and mind. He knows God's heart, God's plans that he has for me. And he takes what is of Jesus and reveals it unto me, the Bible says. Now, so he's not talking about here, rather that you prophesy, he's not talking about here personal tongues. You get it? This is ministry tongues he's talking about. Listen, because if you don't have, in the church setting, if you don't have your own gift of interpretation of tongues or somebody in the room, it's going to build up and edify nobody. That's what he's talking about here. Because in this kind of setting, those tongues, unless it is those that the hearer understands, it's supposed to have an interpretation. Why? So that everybody will be built up and gain understanding of what God is saying. He says, verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification and exhortation and comfort. A lot of people think that prophecy or prophesying is just foretelling a future event. No, it's not. This kind of prophecy here that he's talking about, he says it plainly. It has nothing to do with a foretelling of future events. It is edification, we would say edify, exhortation, that would be like encouragement, he says in comfort. Now, verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. This would be the personal prayer language that we have. When I pray in the Holy Ghost or pray in other tongues, the Bible says in Jude, I'm building myself up. That's not for everybody else to hear. So he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. So this tells me what kind of context setting this is in. It's in a church setting, right? He says, I would that you all spake with tongues. He's talking about every one of us speaking in tongues. He says there, I lost my place, yeah. But rather that you prophesy. Now, he's not saying that you not speak in tongues, right? He said, I would that every one of you do. But in the church, I would rather, if there's no interpretation, that you prophesy. Why? Because that speaketh unto men to exhortation, edification, and comfort. There's no confusion or chaos in that. He says, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. He's talking about in a church setting, without an interpreter. It says, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. He says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Like if somebody was to start speaking another language in here, I wouldn't have a clue what you're saying. That's basically what he's saying there. Why? Because I don't speak anything except country hit, English. That's all. I mean, a few words of Spanish, but I don't think they're probably even... Right. Verse 9, he says, so likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue, that word tongue translates language, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Now, I told you I watched a thing one time on, I think it was National Geographic, And they was doing, following these people. They didn't wear clothes. They just kind of wore a little wrap thing there or whatever, you know. And their language was just like that. And I'm like, what? But every one of them knew what the other one was saying, but I don't have a clue. Now, in my understanding, I would not think that is a language. But you know what? God understands. All of this, I don't understand it, but God understands it. And you know, sometimes we have to get out of our head. Because I only see my little arena that I'm involved with every day or week or whatever that it is. And yours to the part that you let me in or that I see out there at work or something like that. And if I'm not careful, I get to thinking, this is all there is. This is the way. No, honey, there is world, a whole nother world out there that I have never seen, that I have never heard. And I'm talking about here on the planet Earth, not counting out there in the cosmos that I've never seen. You understand what I'm saying? So I have to realize that there's more than just what I understand. I only speak English because I was taught English. Johnny speaks different languages. How many you speak, Johnny? Two. He speaks two. How come? You was taught it? Somebody taught you? Yeah. He didn't learn it himself. Now he's going to be, well, I'm not going to say that. I was going to give a little bit of the play away, but I won't. So he understands two. There's people, they speak four, five, six, 10 different languages. So we have all these different ones in the world. How could I not believe, and we have the scripture to prove it, that there's not these out here. He says, if I speak, the Apostle Paul said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I don't know what language angels speak. But it's probably not a country hick English. All of them. Some of them, one of them might, mine might, you know. But probably not Johnny's or yours or whoever. I don't know what language they speak. But the Apostle Paul, he said that there are tongues of men, which is languages of men, and there are languages of angels. All I know about God is he speaks every language. And like Johnny says, when he speaks to me, it's my voice I hear. That was very good, Johnny, what you said. Because a lot of people, when they're looking to hear from God, they're looking for a voice that's way out there. But you hear your voice. Or there's sometimes I'll hear Scotty's voice. Or there'll be times that I'll hear Brother Brad's voice, you know, back when he was preaching or whatever. I'll hear something that he said when God is speaking to me, and I'll hear his voice. Now, how we got off on that, I don't know. Y'all remember what verse we got to? 10? We'll just go 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, or we would say today, a foreigner. Right? Somebody comes here from France and starts speaking French. I don't got a clue what he's saying. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian, a foreigner unto me. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, we spent quite a bit of time on this. How that if you give out a message in tongues, there's supposed to be an interpreter or somebody that would do that. Sometimes God may give you the interpretation. And listen, we talked about here that Scotty has interpreted before, Danny has interpreted before. There may be some of the rest of y'all in this room that has that gift that we don't know because ain't nobody give out a message in tongues here in years. So don't think, get in your mind and think if you start getting something on the inside that you feel you're supposed to give out, don't think if Scotty or Danny. Did I call you Johnny a while ago? I can't remember. Anyway, if Scotty or Danny's not here, that you can't. Because God may have somebody else in here. But we're going to read. He says this can be done three times. So if you do it the first time and nobody interprets, just be quiet. Don't do it again. Just be quiet. Okay? Gosh, that just, y'all feel that? That just went down. Yeah, you felt it, Johnny. What's the problem with that? Why are we doing this? Because he said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. We want all the gifts of the Spirit moving here in this church. But we want the church to be edified, not in chaos or confusion, because the scripture says God's not the author of confusion. So why is God having us on these subjects? Because he wants us to know. He wants to use us. He wants this church built up and edified. He wants the gifts of the Spirit here. Not just tongues, all of them. He says there, you know, for every one of us to be eager, pursue, you know, love, and go after spiritual gifts. Now where'd we get to? I get to talking and forget. 14. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, what? My spirit prayeth. That's not any head knowledge involved in that. I can only say, God help mama so much. When I know she's going through something, or anybody, you know, I could say, God help Sandy, only so much. I don't know what she's going through. I just know I have some kind of inkling on the inside to pray for Sandy, but I don't know what to pray for. And I can only say, God help Sandy, God help Sandy, whatever she needs, God do it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when I pray in other tongues, what I would do would be I would close my eyes and I would focus on Sandy and I would say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray for Sandy. You know what she needs. You know what she's going through. You know what the plan and will of God is for her. Help me to pray for her because I don't know. And then I would take off in tongues. Why? It's by faith. All the gifts of the Spirit are by faith. They have to be operated by faith. Just like, listen, and whenever you're giving a tongue out in service or an interpretation, sometimes you may just get one word. I have never done it, but I've heard other people that they have interpreted tongues, and it's like they get one word, and by faith they speak out that one word, but it's like the next word is hooked to that word. And as they say the first one, here comes the second one, and here comes the next one. Why? Because God is a God of faith. And it pleases him when we walk and we live by faith. That's what the Bible says we're supposed to live by. Not by our head, not by we know everything before we step out and start doing something, right? And if we mess up, God is very merciful. He knows where we are. He knows what our intentions was. But he says there, 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, he says, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's that mean? My head don't know what my spirit's saying unless I get an interpretation. But I can know, according to Scripture, I'll be praying in the Holy Ghost the perfect will of God, right? He goes on, 15, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now, I'll pray in other tongues. And I will pray with the understanding also. I'll pray in English, right? Now, notice this. I will sing. Some people didn't even know this was possible. There is, you can sing in other tongues. Now, listen, this is utterance given by the Holy Ghost. Y'all remember when we was on that, which I think is 3 or 4 services ago, about staying full, drinking till you're full and all of that. That would go along with this because he's not talking. He says one of the ways you do that is speaking to yourself psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's not just singing a song out of the hymn book. How many knows God gives inspirational songs in tongues and in languages that you understand, English or Spanish or whatever your language is. But these are things that they're inspired by the Spirit. Right? So he says there, I pray in the Spirit. He says, and I'll pray in tongues. I'll sing with my understanding, which would be with my natural English language, and I will sing in the Spirit. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, did y'all know that was possible? How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So in other words, what he's saying here, you can say the blessing at the table in tongues. Have y'all ever felt so grateful to God that words just can't seem to express it? Give thanks in tongues. He said there, if you give thanks in other tongues, you give thanks well. Now, you might not understand it, but God's understanding it, right? So he goes on here. He says, for verily thou givest thanks well, 17, but the other is not edified. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So if he's talking in tongues more than these people, he must get up talking in tongues and go to bed talking in tongues because this is a tongue-talking bunch. They talk in tongues so much, he's having to straighten them out. Because now remember I told y'all one time before that this has been spread abroad what happened on the day of Pentecost. Because Jesus said this is going to happen. Remember, go in there, stand there till you be endued with power from on high. And we talked and we read the scriptures about it. Well, this was noised abroad to everybody and in different languages. Because they heard them praising God, remember, in their own languages. Well, the Corinthians are here, and they get together, and they think they're supposed to start talking. They're all baptized in the Holy Ghost and can speak with other tongues, but it's a prayer language. And so they think when people's coming in, they just talk in tongues, and they should be hearing them in their own language. Why? Because that's how the church started. So every time they get together, they just want to talk in tongues. Read the scriptures. They just want to talk in tongues and think everybody ought to understand it. But he's telling them, I would not have you be ignorant, because that's not how it happened. God gives that, he says, for a sign. But other than that, that's not what we do. Verse 19, he says, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, where did he say? In the church, I would rather speak five words, right? Not in my prayer closet. In my prayer closet, pray in tongues and with the understanding and with other tongues, right? But in the church, if I don't have an interpretation, or if I give something out and there is no interpreter, then I'm just to be silent. Because we'll read here in just a little bit, he says that my spirit is subject to me. God is not making my mouth move right now. I am. He's given me the words to speak, but it's me doing the talking. So what's that mean? It means I can give out a tongue, or I can keep it. I don't have to do it. Some people, you hear them, you know, they get out of order with things, and they'll say, God just made me do it. No, he didn't. No, you'll never find that in Scripture. God just makes people do stuff. If he did, he would make everybody on this planet get born again. And he doesn't. Right? So even though we may have a great unction to do something, we don't have to do it. Y'all ever felt like you're supposed to give somebody $100 and you didn't? You're the only honest one in here, Doris. Y'all ever felt like you're supposed to tell somebody something but you didn't? So you see, you cannot do it, right? That was another one. Just feel that, Donnie. I don't know why we get like that. Where are we now? 20. I'm glad somebody's keeping up with this. He says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, would say other languages, and other lips will I speak unto this people. He says, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe, or believers. He says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Yeah, I would just run the other way. If I just had got saved and go into a church and everybody's in there speaking in other tongues, I'm like, y'all are crazy. I'm out of here. He says, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm? I was thinking about it this morning, and I thought, God, the church is far away from what you started. Most churches today, you go to church, and the praise team does their thing, the pastor does his thing, the usher does their thing, and the congregation just sits there and looks at you like, move me if you can. That's not this church. He says here, 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, when we come and assemble in the church, every one of you has a psalm. In other words, somebody got a song from the Lord, right? Where'd I get to? 26, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three. So in other words, we can do this two or three different times. Right? Ain't that what's good? Sandy could give one, an interpretation. Somebody else give one. And if somebody else had an utterance, fine. If a fourth one, no, that's enough. That. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Wow, we can't do that all day long. God's got other stuff he wants to do. Somebody got a song we need to sing. right? Somebody got a psalm, somebody's got a doctrine, so somebody's got a teaching we need to get, right? So we can't do tongues all day, even if you feel it. But he says we can do it 2 to 3 times. If any man speaketh, let it be by 2, or at the most by 3, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. But if, let's see, 29, right? Let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the others judge. Just like this. Just because somebody stands up and says, thus says the Lord, this, 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 and this, don't mean I'm going to eat it. And you don't either. He just said there, and you'll have people, I've had people before, they get mad because I judge something they said. Well, I'm not ignorant. The scripture tells me I'm supposed to. Y'all ever heard somebody stand up and say something? That makes me think of something that Kenneth Hagin said one time. He said that this lady, they was back in the backwoods, you know, and they talk more country hick than I do, I guess. He said this lady stood up and said, she said, thus saith the Lord, I fear not, my little children. I know you get a scared, for I get a scared myself sometimes. Now, some of y'all's just shaking, and Danny's doing like that, and some of y'all's just looking. How would I know that's not God? Not because of the country language. That has nothing to do with it. Right. God does not fear, and God tells us don't fear. So he would never say, I fear myself sometimes. But people sometimes will get mad if you don't just take everything they say. But I'm not going to, and nobody else should either. If somebody stands up and says something, or they give something out in tongues, and it sounds like fingernails going down a chalkboard, how many knows that's not God? I may not know exactly what's wrong with that, but I know something's wrong with it. Why? Because I have the Spirit inside, and it's not bearing witness with my spirit. There's no peace coming from this what's being said whatsoever. I'm getting no comfort from this whatsoever. Actually, I'm feeling a little annoyed. It's not God. He goes on there. What verse now? 30. He says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's why I said earlier, I don't have to give out something. I can be silent. No matter how I feel. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I was going to stop at that other one, but I didn't. Now, this one here has been used a lot, that women are not supposed to, they're supposed to do exactly what they said. But a lot of people take this out of context. This whole context of this, they're out of order. Right? They got tongues going on, ain't nobody teaching and preaching. They got tongues going on. Back in those days, they say that women sat on one side, men sat on another side. They didn't have children's church and all this other stuff that we have today. And a lot, you'd have somebody up here doing something or giving out a tongue and an interpretation, and then you got somebody's wife on this side. Hey, Scotty, what's he mean by that? I'm interrupting the speaker. I'm usurping authority. What I'm saying it, but I'm not saying it. Be quiet. I need to know what they just said. I don't understand this. So I need Scotty to explain it to me. He said, okay, woman, let your husband explain it to you when y'all get to your own house. Because this is not your house. Y'all got that? Okay. Let's go over to, I got time. Let's see here. Acts chapter 8. Listen, we have, the Bible talks about how the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. In other words, they're not of the flesh, they're not of the natural. Tongues are weapons in your warfare, of your own personal prayer language and prayer for other people. I'm telling you right now, and when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost and you can pray in other tongues, it is ammunition that the devil cannot do nothing with. And if I was the devil, I know exactly why I would fight it like he does. Because he's afeared. Makes me feel good. All right, Acts chapter 8. For time's sake, I'm going to start in verse 12 and go through 19, Zach. I thought that didn't look right. That's, I mean, Corinthians here. Now, we already read those over in Acts chapter 2. We're not going to take the time to go back and read those. But here in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 12. Now, what had happened here, Philip had been preaching, and people had been getting born again. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, this baptism is water baptism. They've already believed the preaching. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, you're what? Bam, you're born again. Okay, it says they believe the preaching. Now they're baptized in water. Now, verse 13. Then Simon himself, now he was a sorcerer, but now he's got saved, believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. So in other words, Philip's like a traveling evangelist. He went on with Philip. And wondered, and beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now they had believed concerning the word, right? So they was born again. They've been baptized in water. Now they sent down Peter and John for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Now I told you, when you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. But there's a whole separate thing called the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and that's what he's talking about here. This has not yet happened to them. They have not yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. What did it say? When Simon saw, what did he say? Same thing happening over in the book of Acts. They said, these men are drunk, right? Because I imagine some of them was crying, laughing. They're all speaking in other tongues. All kinds of stuff are going on. And he says here, when Simon saw that the Holy Ghost fell on them through laying on of hands was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So just this verse here alone does away with tongues is of the devil. Or the baptism of the Holy Ghost is of the devil. Right? He just said that it's called the gift of God. Every one of us need this gift. Now, we see here, and listen, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak in other tongues. It doesn't record it here that they spoke in other tongues, but there's something going on that Simon can see and hear that he wants to give them some money for. Right? Now, let's go over to Acts 10. I'm going to do 44 through 46, Zach. Now, this is over here. Y'all remember the story about Cornelius? He had sent for Peter to come. You know, the angel had appeared to him and said, send for Peter to come over here. Well, that's already happened. Cornelius sent three men to Peter, and Peter has come over there, and now he's preaching to them. They gathered all in Cornelius' house. Verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now listen, I told you, you're not even a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost unless you're born again first. So they believed, and while he's preaching, y'all remember what Sandy said last week? Nobody laid hands on her. You heard the word about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You said in your chair and received the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, that's exactly what happened to them. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can any man forbid water? They ain't been baptized in water yet. So the only requirement for the baptism of the Holy Ghost is you must be born again. You don't got to be baptized in water first. You just be born again. I heard Brother Brad tell a story about this one couple. He had knowed them, and they hadn't lived a very good life. I think they was kind of like drunks and stuff like that. And one morning they was in the service, and he was giving an altar call. Well, they had sat there, and they had heard the preaching and everything. Well, the man and the woman, they get up and start coming down the aisle, and as they're coming down the aisle, they're staggering around like they're drunk. What's happened? And he thought they was drunk until they got down there. They had sat there, heard what he said, and in their hearts they had believed, and the Holy Ghost fell on them before they could even get to the altar. God is not looking for a reason. See, I used to feel like I was so bad that if people really knew me, they wouldn't like me. And I used to feel like that even after I got saved, actually when I was going to be baptized in water, and I had been saved for a little while, and I was going to get baptized in water, and I was kind of nervous about it, you know. I don't really know much about God and the things of God and baptism, you know, and all this other stuff. I actually would lay in bed at night, and I could see Brother Brad putting me in the water, and fire flames going everywhere because I'm so bad. I'm serious. I thought, oh, my goodness. You see how the devil lies to people? I mean, for some reason, my whole life, I just had this thing that just played, this tape that played in my head about how bad I am, how ugly I am, how mean I am, you know, and all this stuff. But the thing about it is, once I get born again, I'm not. I mean, really, I'm not. No, you can ask Brother Brad. No fire came up, Johnny, when I was baptized that day because I was so mean or anything. I guess what I'm trying to say is here, you don't have to be perfect. You know, and you'll hear people say, you know, that God doesn't fill an unclean temple. Well, that's true. He doesn't. But when I get born again, I'm no longer unclean. The Bible says, now I'm clean. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, is my performance or the things that I do, my actions, 100% perfect all the time the day that I get born again? No. But God doesn't leave me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now, he wants me growing in holiness, right? The Bible says, without no man shall see the Lord. He wants me growing and developing as long as my heart is going after him. Y'all remember the stories about David, right? And I know this is Old Testament, you know, which ought to give you some comfort because they had it bad in the Old Testament, you know. Such certain things, and you can't die, boy. I mean, there's not really no grace back there or anything. But the Bible says, God said himself, David is a man after my own heart. Right? The man committed adultery. The man had another man, Bathsheba's husband, what's his name, Uriah, had him killed, you know, he's a murderer and all this other stuff. But he says, David's a man after my heart. If you'll read, I mean, it was even what Nathan the prophet came to him and he told him, prophesied to him, he said, told him the story about how that he could have had a bunch of lambs, you know, but this man, he had only one lamb, but now you've taken it and all that. And David, boy, his righteous indignation gets up and he says, kill him. He says, you're the man. Why would God say that about David? How could he say that about David? Because the thing about David is, when he seen he was wrong, David was quick to repent and turn from it. Every time. So I want to encourage you this morning, you may not be perfect. There's none of us perfect. But as long as we're going after God, we want him. And he says, desire spiritual gift. He wants to give us all the gifts. He knows the plans that he has for us, right? There's certain things I cannot do without certain gifts. Just like what I'm doing this morning, I am set in the body of Christ as a teacher, in the fivefold ministry, a teacher. I could not do this without him anointing me and calling me to do this. If you think you can, just get up here and try it. I've got up here before without him, and I ain't got nothing to say. I know y'all might be shocked, but I ain't got nothing to say. And whatever I do say, it's not very good. So God has a plan for every one of us. I mean, you may not be in fivefold ministry. There'll be some of you guys that stays here probably forever. that are called to stay here and to help us do the work that he's called to do here. There'll be some of you guys probably that you'll grow and you'll develop and you'll be ministers, and God will call you out to certain places and start certain works and different things like that. And without certain gifts, you can't do it. There's no way you could do it. Well, the baptism in the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues, I'm telling you, you need that gift. Because, listen, it is prideful to think you know everything. There's no way you know everything. It's prideful for me to think I know how to pray for everybody. I know how to pray for my own self, because the Scriptures tells me, no, I don't. But when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I can pray things that I don't have a clue. And listen, some people say, you know, well, God is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants to. No, he can't. Why? He has bound himself to his word. He can only access certain things in my life that I will give him access to. I remember, I've got just a couple of minutes. I backslid one time, got back on drugs and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I wouldn't watch preaching anymore. I'm not praying in other tongues. I'm not going to church. Sandy even come to me one time, and I reckon I give her so much hardship, she went and told Brother Brad. So anyway, I mean, how many knows the Bible says that a dog returns to his own vomit and a pig to his wallowing? You don't serve the Lord, you pretty much go right back to the way you used to be, and talks about even seven times worse, you know. So I'm back, I'm doing all this stuff, I'm doing drugs again, you know, and all this stuff. And one night I'd done some meth and had smoked some pot and done some meth and had pot in my pocket and actually had sent some money for people to get me some more meth to smoke. And Scotty's brother had pulled up, and so him and his brother sitting on the front porch talking, and I was around back in the shed, you know, because I don't want nobody to see me for nothing. I don't want to be around nobody or anything like that. And I'm out there in the shed, and all of a sudden, I have something coming up in here, right here. I can feel it. I can feel it coming up, like, toward my chest or whatever. Y'all feel heartburn when it comes up, don't you? Well, this ain't like heartburn, but you can feel it coming up through here. And I know what it is. I have this inspiration to pray in tongues. But I ain't been praying in tongues in months, and I'm not planning on ever again. Now listen, I did not backslide because I didn't love God. I had some things happen to me and people and different things like that, and I felt like I couldn't measure up to the standard that other people said that I was supposed to be. I mean, I can't serve God, Johnny, by what you tell me I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to have God in here telling me what I'm supposed to do and all this stuff. And so anyway, I'd backslid and, excuse me, I have this inspiration coming up to pray in tongues. I'm like, oh, well, and this is what I said, oh, well, what the heck. I cut that and started praying in tongues. I start praying in tongues. Now, I don't have a clue in my mind what I'm praying. But my spirit prayeth, the Bible said. We just read the scripture. That's where I serve God. I don't serve God in my head. I begin to pray in other tongues, and I start having this vision. And you can believe me or you cannot. I even told God, I said, God, people's going to think I was on a trip. And he said, is the weights gone? And I said, yes, Lord. That's the proof of the pudding. Trips don't remove weights from you. Anyway, and I started praying in tongues, and I saw like these big, thick, like school. You know how thick them curtains are at the school? And I saw them. They was black, and they had a red cord, and they just began to roll back as I started praying in tongues. And I felt like, how many knows sin is weight? It burdens you down. And because I had not been serving God, I had backslid and not served, things are beginning to pile up on me again. The drugs, alcohol, all this stuff, things I've been doing, saying, all this other stuff. And I saw, y'all may have watched it on Tom and Jerry and stuff, but I saw like these cartoon barbells, like how on one end they're black and on one end they'll have like 200 pounds or 500 pounds, you know, and all of that. And I'm starting to feel real good, you know. And I told the Lord out loud, I said, God, if I tell people about this, they're going to think I was on a trip. And he said, is it gone? And I knew what he was talking about, the weight that I had started feeling, the sin that I was carrying around with me. And I saw those barbells, and it was like the little cartoon barbells. And I said, yes, Lord, it's gone. Now, I'm convinced, had I not prayed in tongues, that would have not happened to me. Why? Because my head won't let me serve God, because my head is telling me I can't do it. I can't measure up. I can't be good enough to the standard that I felt like that was supposed to be. You understand? In my heart, I want to. But it seemed like I just couldn't. So instead of making God look bad to people, Scotty would be the way he was. I mean, he'd have people puffing out cigarette smoke and 25 stickers on the back window of his truck talking about Jesus. And smoke just boiling out where he's, now he don't smoke now, but I mean at the time, I couldn't do that, Donnie. I'm telling you, I mean if a puff of smoke come out, I couldn't have nothing where I was representing Jesus, you know. You understand what I'm telling you? But because I let those tongues out, why? Because my spirit prays. God loves me, loved me, and wanted a relationship with me, but in my head, my carnality, I could not. But because that come up, inspiration by the Holy Spirit, and I let those tongues out, I honestly believe with all my heart that I repented in other tongues. Because it was like after that, and I saw that, mine and his relationship, I smoked another joint, to be honest, and quit laughing, Johnny. You know how your flesh is. Just one more time. Everything, just one more time. I was outside, and I was raking some leaves up, and I smoked me another joint, and I had that in my pocket, and I looked at it, and in my heart, I thought, I love God. And I said, I'll never smoke you again. And I throwed it in the fire. Now, why am I telling you that story? Because I'm trying to explain to you how important praying in other tongues is. I believe that I repented in other tongues because I could not with my mind. And after that, I went around to the front where Scotty and his brother was, and I was sitting there, and some things had happened in the family. And I said, can I ask you something? And he says, well, if it ain't going to hurt nobody, I felt like I had drunk a gallon of truth serum. I could not have told a lie if my life had depended on it. This is how I know that I wasn't on a trip. It was from God. You smoke meth. Are you like that? Did you? No, I didn't do you like that. You want to beat people up, you're paranoid and everything else. I've got to stop because actually our time has already passed. Does anybody have any questions or anything they'd like to say quickly before we close? Go ahead, Shannon.